5 easy steps for creating a flipped learning lesson. This is EdTech Source, a pedagogy podcast from sciencesourceonline.com by me, Alex Nixon. Welcome to the very, very, very first episode of EdTech Source, the pedagogy podcast that focuses on all things EdTech. EdTech Source lives at sciencesourceonline.com, a source for flipped learning lessons. The source in Science Source is spelled like ketchup. If you want to follow up on anything you hear in this episode, you can find the show notes at sciencesourceonline.com/EdTech Source. For the very first episode, I figure there's no better place to start than discussing how to get started with flipped learning. Flipped learning has become one of those pedagogy buzzwords over the past few years. Personally, I think it's worth the hype and I use it a lot with my students. But I wish I'd had some advice on getting started before I began the process. For those that haven't really delved into this flipped classroom idea, here's the basic summary. Teaching using a flipped classroom approach involves students learning content at home in advance of the lesson, and then they spend the lesson doing activities that allow them to engage with the topic in more depth. This is instead of them learning new content in the lesson and then going home with a worksheet to practice it, which is the time when they really need the teacher's help. For any teacher who's willing to try it, it's really easy to get started with flipped learning, and it doesn't need to take any more time than planning a regular, non-flipped lesson. You've quite possibly seen a few similar posts to this one, other articles or podcasts along the lines of X number of steps for a great flipped classroom. It seems to me that most of these focus on making a presentation to share with your students. There are lots of resources you can use as the pre-class task for flipped learning, and the presentations made into videos are one of the most common ways. But for the purpose of introducing flipped learning and keeping this fast and simple, I'm assuming that you're not making your own video content, at least not yet. My focus here is on creating the lesson as a whole. So, here are the 5 easy steps to creating a flipped learning lesson. Number 1, find your input task. Number 2, create the engagement task. Number 3, create a blog for sharing content with the class. Number 4, plan your class activities carefully for higher order thinking. Number 5, think about feedback and assessment. So, number 1, find your input task. The input task is the part where the students get the facts. Examples include online videos, listening activities, research, or sometimes just reading a page from a textbook. The main aim is to make sure all of the knowledge objectives of your lesson are covered. You'll really struggle to find the content you need on YouTube, so have a browse and see what you can find. If you do choose to use videos, my advice is to choose ones that are 5 minutes in length or shorter. Try to consider your students' attention spans. Recent news articles or educational podcasts can make for interesting tasks if having something current is important in your learning objectives. In my lessons, I cover a lot of contemporary environmental issues with high school students, and so news articles on things like the effects of climate change provide quite a wealth of material. The content you choose will depend on the subject you teach and the age group you work with, but I don't think you'll find it difficult to get good educational content online in this day and age. Remember that the idea is to give students all the facts they need via this input method. Sure, facts and rote learning are not something we're focusing on in the grand scheme of things, but view this in the context of Bloom's taxonomy. Remember is the very first level, it's at the base level, and the students aren't able to access higher order thinking, like applying knowledge, unless they have those facts as a foundation. Make sure your input task contains good, solid facts, the things you want to focus on for that lesson. Number 2, create the engagement task. Once you've got the input task chosen, create an engagement piece of work. The purpose of this is to give the students a focus while watching the video or following whatever kind of input task you've set. I don't expect my students to gain the knowledge from a video without having some sort of focus while doing it. Usually, I think a question sheet is the best and most simple choice for an engagement task. As they watch the video or do the reading, they answer 5 to 10 questions based on it, which directs their attention to the main points, the points you want to cover in the lesson. Question sheets also provide a good opportunity for you to give feedback at the very beginning of the lesson. When you're setting flipped learning homework, your instructions for the students would probably be something like, watch the video and use it to answer this question sheet before next lesson. Remember that you would probably create a homework task for a non-flipped learning lesson anyway, so this doesn't necessarily need to take up any more time than making the resources for a normal lesson. I only bring that up because flipped learning is something that is often criticized for taking too much teacher time. The reality is it doesn't have to. Number 3, get a blog for sharing content with the class. Flipped learning opens up a lot of doorways to the way you share information with students. You will probably end up using online videos, newspaper articles, which would probably be via a website, podcast episodes, all sorts of digital media. It's great to reach students in a range of ways, but it does get difficult to share this kind of content easily. It's often impossible to share the web addresses for a specific video or article because web addresses can be really long. You know, www.somethingorother.com/something/something, and then there's a whole bunch of letters and numbers, and you've got to say, make sure you type this correctly. That is a lowercase l, not an uppercase I. It won't work out. You can guarantee that several students in the class won't get the details. A class blog is great because you can just tell the students, watch the video and use it to answer the questions. You'll find the link for today's video on our class blog. It saves a lot of time and a lot of effort in the long run. Number 4, plan your class activities carefully for higher order thinking. Think about Bloom's taxonomy here. Your students hopefully have reached the remember and understand levels of the ladder before they start the lesson. So what activities can you plan that help them reach higher order thinking? Here are some of the ideas that I like to work with. Write a pamphlet about. Replace the word pamphlet with whatever is appropriate for the topic. As a biology teacher, I could ask students to create a pamphlet warning about ways to reduce the transmission of disease, and that will be as part of a chapter on disease and transmission. Another idea is create a presentation to a company convincing them to do something. Now that's a really, really adaptable concept for many topics. The loose premise is the students have to create a presentation proving that they understand the topic they did for homework while reformulating their knowledge. Examples could include presenting to the local council to convince them to use more energy efficient technology, and that will be for a lesson on renewable energy. Or it could be to a historical figure encouraging them to take a different course of action, and that will be good for a history lesson. Another idea that I quite like is teach the teacher. Tell the students that they are the teacher for the lesson and they have to teach you, you role playing as the student for the lesson, about the topic. This is inherently differentiated because some students will only be able to reiterate the main points of the lesson, while others will be able to reformulate and create new ideas based on the content, which is very high order thinking. The lesson is accessible and beneficial to all levels. To make sure that this is true, I would recommend setting your expectations very clearly on this before the students begin. Make sure they know that reformulating the ideas they've learned is a target for the lesson, possibly by giving a rubric or possibly by setting a new context. For example, if my lesson focused on conservation strategies for endangered species, something which I do teach often, the teach the teacher task might be, teach me how to create a nature reserve here in this town to protect species X, Y, and Z. From this, reformulating ideas and applying knowledge is more of a requirement. Whatever your chosen activity is, make sure it involves some creative thinking on the part of the students, as well as analysis and application of the concepts they covered for homework. As I mentioned, it's also really helpful to give students an assessment rubric for any work you set. That leads us on to point 5. Think about feedback and assessment. All types of assessment will change a little with a flipped lesson. The activities don't lend themselves to traditional marking, so assigning a grade or score can be tricky. And as there is often less writing, you have to think more carefully about what you will base your feedback on. In my flipped lessons, I minimize student writing time and solo work. This presents a problem. How do I assess the students, both formatively and summatively? First of all, the activities usually lend themselves to effective informal assessment via teacher monitoring. But second of all, they are great opportunities for rubric-based assessment and, therefore, feedback. Giving out the criteria to the students before they start the activity gives the students a focus for completing their task, and the criteria can be used by their peers and you, the teacher, to assess the students and assign a summative score if that's one of the goals for your lesson. It may sound complicated at first, but once you do start with flipped learning, you'll realise two things. Firstly, it takes about the same amount of planning and effort to create a flipped learning lesson as it does to create a regular non-flipped lesson. And secondly, it's a lot more fun for students and their teacher. If you've ever thought about giving flipped learning a go, why not get started with it this week following these five steps? Number one, find your input task. Number two, create the engagement task. Number three, get a blog for sharing content with the class. Number four, plan your class activities carefully for higher order thinking. And number five, think about feedback and assessment. Thanks for listening to the very first episode of EdTech Source. You can find the show notes as well as details on how to subscribe and all those kinds of things at sciencesourceonline.com/EdTech Source. That's sciencesourceonline.com/EdTech Source. Remember, it's source as in ketchup. You can also catch up with me on Twitter if you want to using @science_source. Have a great week, everyone.